Welcome to Best Threesome Ever, a podcast discussing all things revolving around nerdy pop culture. Probably not what you were expecting, but it's just as fun. Now here are your hosts, Nick, Rob, and Kevin.
All right, here we are, Best Threesome Ever, back for our spoiler episode of Infinity War. I'm Nick.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Kevin.
Absolutely.
So in case you're wondering, we just start the fucking show with spoilers these days.
Yep. Yeah, this is our spoiler episode. We wanted to separate it from our original episode so that you could listen to us but not be spoiled, because we really thought with Infinity War that we didn't want to spoil a fucking thing about it.
But hopefully Nick will, I'm sure, do his job when we post episode 60 here and say, this is a spoiler from the start. Spoiler town. Spoiler, spoiler, bro. Spoiler.
I mean,
59 and a half, but
I still say we just call it 60.
Whatever.
Since we missed a week.
Oh, yeah, we should.
And it is a separate episode.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah. Fair enough. So what are we talking about today, you guys?
We're going to talk about Infinity War and nothing but Infinity War.
This is all Infinity War because this is a therapy sesh, you guys. All
right, so in 1990. Are we not starting there?
I think I want to just start this out with a Kevin. What the fuck? Holy shit,
bruh.
You guys, I have feelings.
So everything we thought, the fucking opposite just happened.
It really did. Oh my God. So before we go too deep, I feel like we need to, you know, make sure that we have some structure to this. This is obviously, this first part is going to be just our first reactions to the movie. All right? All right, yeah, no. So this first part, we're just doing like initial reactions to the film, just getting our therapy session on here. And then I think we'll dive in and we'll really get into the nitty gritty. Hell, I made notes for this episode, you guys.
Yeah, who never has notes?
I never have notes. I fly way off the cuff every time we do this show. And then I think we really do have to talk about what this whole movie means going forward at the end of this. So
I have a theory on that, but keep going. Keep going.
Yeah, no. So let's, I mean, obviously we've got Nick's initial reaction here.
I wanted to yell that out in the theater at the end.
I yelled no.
I yelled what? Like right as I knew it was ending. Oh, holy shit. But yeah, I've never been in a nerd pop culture sort of movie on opening night. Well, the night before opening night,
yeah,
with an absolutely silent theater as the
right?
credits roll.
Yeah,
never
yeah.
in my life.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've never felt this way after a movie ever. You feel so many different things, and you don't have words.
Oh, P.S. First time I didn't hate somber piano.
Yeah,
I want to point that out.
I don't remember the music because I was in such shock.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I kind of imagine this is like, if I were to liken this to anything, you know, this is what audiences felt back in 1980.
At the end of
Empire
Strikes Back. Yeah.
Probably.
No, that's fair. I believe that. At least at the end of that, you had a feeling of,
things are going to be okay.
Things are going to be okay. They're going to go get everybody. Everything's going to get put back to normal, you guys. At the end of this, Thanos is smiling on a fucking hillside in an idyllic little farmhouse.
Just and it's having just the like, fucking time of his life.
I know. And it's just like, what? What? The bad guy doesn't win, you guys. Why is this happening?
And that final middle finger right before the post credit.
Thanos will return.
Fuck you! Piece of cable-y shit.
Yeah, oh yeah. By the way, can we talk about how much Thanos was like?
This was Thanos the movie.
I think we've got initial reactions out of the way here.
Yeah.
You want to dive in?
Yeah.
All right, I've got some notes. My first note is Thanos is awesome. This was all Thanos all the time. That was just, I think Josh Brolin killed it as the Mad Titan, man. That it's just, this is the best, most fully fleshed out villain we've seen in a Marvel film yet. And that's nothing against any of the others, especially Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, I was going to say
Rivaling, like...
Killmonger.
Yeah, like, they might be neck and neck, but I think Thanos might just edge him out just a little.
Just because we have so much more history on him.
Yeah. And I think that's the only reason. Like, one of the reasons that Thanos is so good in this film is because we've had 18 films to give him little drops of plot and backstory for Thanos. So, I mean, the fact that Michael B. Jordan as Killmonger comes out of the gate and one and done film, he cements himself as one of the best villains. Like, I think that might give him just the edge because he has so much less to play with. But I don't know. They're right at the top for me. It's Thanos and Killmonger, which is just bizarre. But
every time I bitch about killing off a really good supervillain quickly, this is why you can't do that in every movie. Because one, you would just feel shitty after every movie. But you're right. Thanos was just so good. But it sucks to see him win, sort of.
No, oh no, he wins.
He won. He did the thing.
Yeah.
He won and he did the thing.
Yeah. So I... Oh, fuck. It was so much. But Thanos was, yeah, I think definitely. I think this was not Avengers Infinity War. I think this was Thanos Infinity War.
It was. It really was. And I'm okay with that.
Yep, 100%.
It's exactly how this movie should be played. And from right from the beginning, this sucker, you jump onto a freight train and you don't fucking stop.
And they play Thanos not... Yes, he's the villain, but he's like that Christopher Guest type villain where he's like, you look at me as a villain, but I'm looking at myself as doing something right for mm-hmm. the universe. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm the good guy here and you're all the bad guys. But it worked differently than Christopher Guest plays it, but in a good, I don't want to say good way, but like it really drove the movie. It drove...
For clarification, you mean Christopher Guest in Princess Bride as Count Rugen?
Maybe I said the wrong actor. Who am I thinking of?
Because that would be right. That would be accurate.
Yes, but I. Fuck. Inglourious Bastards, the Nazi dude.
Oh, Christoph Waltz.
Christoph Waltz. Sorry, him. Where he views himself when everybody's like, "How does he's brilliant?" And he's like, "Yeah, because I view my bad guys as that they are right and everybody else is wrong." Mm-hmm. And yeah, so it just I don't know. I lost my train of thought.
But the difference
because I said the wrong name.
The difference definitely being that you know the best villains are the ones you even though what. They're doing is awful and you hate them for it, you're also thinking, oh, you're kind of right too.
Yeah.
Like there's a part of you that's just, I hate everything you stand for, but the problem is you also have some good ideas.
Yeah, just I don't think genocide's the answer for it.
And I think where I almost liken what he's doing to is Samuel L. Jackson's character in Kingsman.
Well,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. But and that usually is the formula for the best villains is that they acknowledge the major problem, which in Thanos' case is basically overpopulation.
And he even acknowledges, you know, people's knee-jerk reaction to it. He's like, I know you don't like this, but this is what needs to happen.
This absolutely works. This is exactly how we solve the problem, you guys. We can solve it this way. He addresses the problem. And addresses a solution that everyone else goes, but that's not okay. We understand that you're right about the problem, and yeah, that would work, but no. And I like that. I think that's a good hallmark of a great villain is when they can acknowledge what the problem is, and then show you enough sense and logic and reason so that their solution makes sense. So and that's my big note on Thanos. I've got a couple others, and I did want to get to this. I started to get to this a second ago, but the pacing of the film, like I said, you jump on a freight train and you don't fucking stop.
I thought there was still way more movie left.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did I.
I did not feel like it was almost a 3 hour long movie.
Yeah. From the moment you step onto the Asgardian cruiser, done. That's it. We're moving this fast straight out the gate. Like, kill off Loki, kill off Heimdall right away. That's how we're playing this game. Let's go.
And that question, they did not show two major players from Thor Ragnarok dead on that ship.
Correct.
And that was Valkyrie and Korg.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that she grabbed that rock, son of a bitch, jumped onto her craft and went to go find help, and that she and Korg are still alive.
Yeah, and I think
that she wouldn't be killed off screen like that.
Yeah, I think we're gonna and I think we should get to that a little bit later. But yeah, I agree with you. I hope that's true. But yeah, I think this movie just like it was a fucking freight train, man. Like you get on, you don't fucking stop. It's you're done.
I really want to see the director's cut. Like I don't even care if it's longer.
I hope it's like a 4-hour movie.
Well, I was just
only be 20 more minutes.
I was just thinking in terms of okay, so Lord of the Rings was almost 3 hours. You watch the director's cuts, it's 3 hours.
That's how it felt.
And the pacing was slow at parts, and you know you kind of go, ugh, we have to drag through this bullshit. But this movie was just as long, and you don't feel the same way at all.
There was no time for bullshit.
No,
yeah,
none,
not at all.
Like, we have all these characters we need to flesh out, and then a couple we need to flesh out.
Yeah,
yeah.
Fuck you, bye.
Yep.
Also, fuck you, Loki. Oh, that was.
Oh,
I mean,
way to go down a hero, though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and I'm okay with that. But the MCU's greatest villain, and you kill him in the first 10 minutes. Oh, that's
how you knew they weren't fucking around.
Oh yeah, no. There could have been a way that they played that where it felt shitty and cheap. And like just a cop out.
You mean like the Heroes 3 from Thor Ragnarok?
Yeah. Yeah, where you just get rid of Loki and there, you don't have to pay that paycheck anymore and that's it and it's done. Like, there are so many times you see that in a film, and this is actually one of those times where it works. Like, it shows that Thanos is a fucking badass. Like, he is... There's no way around how evil, how badass he is. And the best way to do it was kill off the greatest Marvel villain we've had.
Well, question, how do we know that Loki wasn't playing a trick like he did?
No, he's dead. He's dead. I'm sorry. I think he's dead.
But he did that in the second Thor movie where he died and it was just a trick.
I don't think so. I think he's dead.
I don't. And even Thor said it where he's like, I don't know. He's come back before. He's like that. But this one,
I think
this one's permanent.
Mm. Yeah.
And I mean, Loki's had a run. He's been doing this a long time. Tom Hiddleston needs a break.
Yeah. How does Tony Stark?
And what a good way to go.
Oh yeah. No, and like I was saying, there are ways that they could have done this that would have felt disingenuous, and this isn't the one that.
Right.
And that's not what we got. We got a solid closure to Loki, and that's why I think it's going to stick.
Mm. I agree. I don't disagree. I don't disagree. I was just throwing it out there that you know he's done that trick before. Yeah. Where,
and as long as we're there at the beginning of the film, let's talk about Heimdall for a second. That again, not a death I felt that was cheap. I didn't feel it was. Mm-hmm. There is a death in this movie that I did feel was cheap, but
get to her.
We'll get to her. Uh huh. Yeah. Heimdall also moved the plot along, made a good heroic last stand, basically. And yeah, no.
It's interesting that he chose the Hulk and not Thor or somebody else.
I don't. I think he knew that Hulk was probably the best chance Earth had. I don't think he saw him not becoming the Hulk again coming, but...
Uh-huh. Oh, and that's a storyline we need to talk about.
Which was kind of funny.
Oh, boy. I've got that note, too.
it's a whole... Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so Heimdall, yep. I agree.
Yeah.
And again, also a death I feel is permanent.
Yeah.
I know Idris Elba is...
Well, you get a sword through...
Tired also.
You get a sword through you, you're pretty much fucked.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know...
But yeah, but also he could come back too. Like,
it's you know, it's a comic book universe. There's a certain level of revolving door here.
And this is going to come up when we talk about theories, but I mean, no death is permanent in this movie, I think.
No, I don't think it is either.
I think the two, if not the three,
yeah.
Pre-culling.
Yeah.
I think anybody that didn't get turned to dust is pretty permanent. With the exception of maybe Gamora.
Maybe Gamora, and that's the one I'm
But I don't think
about.
She's gonna be back alive. I think she'll be something else. Mm. I think she'll be more like what the Red Skull was.
Which the Red Skull, yo!
Oh yeah, no, I didn't even have that note.
Oh my
I'm
god!
I'm so sorry.
The Red Skull fucking just showing up out of nowhere. I'm like, oh, this dude, this Dementor guy is cool. And all of a sudden, it's like, boom, Red Skull. I was like, ah! Like I shrieked in the theater.
I think I let out an audible. What the fuck? And I usually don't talk during movies.
I think my answer was, oh yeah,
god, like Red Skull. Just, yeah, I've been here for a while. It's cool.
He's deaf. Or more or less, kind of a deathish character. Yeah.
This is death instead of being a chick that Thanos is trying to impress by killing half the universe. It's He's doing it for a good reason.
Yeah. So I'm
really glad they changed from the comic book.
Tesseract pretty much banished him there, and mm-hmm. he's been good because oh fuck, I'm stuck here. This sucks.
Yeah,
I'll lament about my problems. But yeah, I think. Anyways, we're jumping tracks here. Sorry.
Yeah.
Us.
But that's actually a good thing to bring up is that now that we get to Hulk on Earth, Thor is floating through space at this point. Well, we don't know he's floating through space at that point, but Hulk lands on Earth.
We guess he's dead at that point.
Yeah, we guess he's dead.
Because the ship
blows up. Like, everybody on the fucking...
Except I knew he wasn't.
Well, of course. Because you know he has to meet up with the Guardians still. Well,
because they kind of established that since Drax has been fundamentally changed from how he used to be in the comics. Because for those who don't know, Drax, the Destroyer, got his name because he was literally created to be the Destroyer of Thanos. He was built as a Thanos killer. He used to have the ability to fly. He had some telekinesis powers. He was able to shoot projectiles out of his hands. He used to be a powerhouse. But he was nerfed in the comics like right before Guardians of the Galaxy came out.
Hmm.
And so then that's the one they ended up going with.
Yeah. So we know Banner lands on Earth. He lands in the Sanctum Sanctorum.
Sanctum Sanctorum.
I don't think that's right.
I'm pretty sure.
Spectra Sanctorum.
Rick Sanctorum.
Yeah, Spectra Sanctorum. Pretty sure it's Sanctum Sanctorum.
Sounds like we're trying to cast spells on Harry Potter.
He
lives. he lands where Doctor Strange is.
Yeah, and his
which
and
I think
his
was purposeful.
Buddy Wong.
Which I think was
Sanctum Sanctorum.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Sanctum Sanctorum. Yeah.
Sounds so weird.
Which I'm like mm-hmm. I said, I think Heimdall did purposefully land it.
I think so too. Because I think Heimdall went, I know where one of the stones is. Whee, send him there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I want the Lego one.
And let's talk about Doctor Strange as a plot device in this movie, you guys.
Not once did Robert Downey Jr. and fucking Futz Bumwaller, Gilbert Slapdyback say to each other, or somebody say in front of them, no shit, Sherlock, and them have a little back and forth about it. It's all I wanted, and it didn't happen, and I'm mad.
I bet you there's got to be an out. There's got to be an. There's got to be an outtake of them. Somebody saying that.
Gilbert Slapdyback.
Funny.
Bumblebee yeah. Cucumber.
Wow. Doctor Strange, huh? I don't even know where to begin. Where do you begin with this one?
Doctor Strange? I get.
I think he predicts the next movie, how it's all going to turn out.
We're going to get to my theory on Doctor Strange.
I think
we have the same theory.
We're going to get to
that. We'll get to that.
Well, I've got one.
But I loved him in this movie. He was peak Doctor Strange. Yeah. Like, yep. And he wasn't. Like, the big problem with Doctor Strange that I was worried about is he had been kind of established in these movies as being way too OP for this. But then, you know, you get the Black Guard who comes in and is like, yeah, you got nothing, son.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, it also feels like, does it feel like Doctor Strange has actually been around for a while and it's just been guarding his little corner of the universe while the rest of the universe goes on around him, behind him? Like, I'm not sure if he's been around since... Like, I'm not sure if Doctor Strange has been the Sorcerer Supreme since Iron Man 1, but I feel like maybe he was.
Let's step back and pause for a second. So my understanding from this movie and what I got out of the movies was this is about 2 years later from...
Civil War. Yeah.
Civil War. So that all the timelines could kind of catch up with one another.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm guessing, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm guessing that it's been a couple years. People have had time to develop their whatever, so Doctor Strange has been doing his thing, Tony, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And et cetera, et cetera. So am I wrong in thinking that this is about, like, 2 years after Civil War?
That sounds about right.
No, yeah, that's absolutely right. Like, they say so.
Well, that's what I was thinking, but then at the other time, I was like, is this how much, where are we?
General Ross, right in the beginning of the movie... Like, when he comes in, they've been missing for 2 years. What are you doing? Civil War happened 2 years ago.
Right. Right.
According to Ross. And according to a couple people, in fact.
Well, that's what I was guessing. I just wanted to make sure I was right.
Oh, yeah, you were right.
Sometimes I hear things and I go, did I hear that right? Because there's a lot going on. And then you have Rhodey making smart-ass comments, which I was more enthralled to listen to than fucking whatever General Ross was saying, because fuck that guy.
Red Hulk.
Right. So...
I don't like it, but sure.
Because then the same thing with Rhodey. He was walking around. He's obviously been rehabbed and.
Yeah, but he's still got the braces.
Right.
This guy's a little...
He's still has Batman leg.
Right, but he's still walking. He's walking around better than he was in the end of Civil War.
Because he's had 2 years of practice and rehab with these things.
Sure. So, all right. So continuing on. Sorry.
Yeah. So a little hoop-de-la, whatever. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I know hoop-de-la. I'm sorry.
Theoretically, Peter is now a junior.
Junior? Oh, sure. Yep. So, yeah, everyone shows up, like, everyone's going to Earth. That's where we get New York. Here comes Tony. He's at Tony, who gets pulled away from his now fiance Pepper, in the park in New York and gets pulled away by Doctor Strange. And they're off to the Sanctum Sanctorum. And the spaceship comes down. Peter sees it outside.
Just goes right into it.
Yeah. And we're off.
No time to stop.
And we're fucking off. There we go. So, like, in quick succession, you've got... The first group meeting up to go to space. You've got Strange, Iron Man, and Spider Man going to space. And was there one more? No, those were the three that go from Earth to space.
It's just the Guardians meet up with them later.
Yep, and then then later they'll meet up with the Guardians and Thor.
Well, I want to say something about Peter Parker real quick.
No, they don't meet up.
Oh no, they don't meet up with
Rocket,
Thor
because Thor adopts Rocket and Groot and Rabbit and Tree and go on their own adventure.
Yeah. That's right, but the other Guardians go to nowhere again.
Yeah, they go back to nowhere, and then they go to Titan.
Yep, and then they go to Titan. Yeah, and they all meet up with Iron Man, Spider Man, and Doctor Strange, and that's super cool. And then on the Earth plot, you've got literally everybody fucking else on Earth, and
Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage, yeah,
as the giant dwarf. I think this is the greatest role he's
ever
had.
What a brilliant idea! You'll love that. Hi, Nick.
Hi.
Am I running over you?
Yep.
I'm sorry, man.
It's okay. You done?
I'm done.
So I was going to say about Peter Parker, going back to that, was I'd like the fact that he made a distraction and he asked the guy in the chair to be like, make a distraction. He makes a distraction, which is great, but except for the bus driver, because the bus driver would have seen him. Because the bus driver was like, what the fuck's going on back there? Why are you jumping out the window? Why are you putting on a Spider-Man mask? And he's on the side of the bus, which mirrors and traffic and all. But anyways, it doesn't make any sense now because we've passed that point. But
maybe not, though, because, I mean, he, like, Ned got them to the back left of the bus.
Yeah, the students.
Yeah, but, like, the bus driver could have just, the back right of the bus. And the bus driver could have just been looking out the big, tall door window.
Maybe, but you know they always have that mirror right above them, and cameras because buses have cameras in them now.
Camera definitely would have caught.
Anyways,
oh yeah,
Spider-Man.
Small things,
but I mean that doesn't really matter now, does it?
Yeah, I was just gonna say nothing really matters.
Doesn't really matter now.
Maybe, who knows?
Yeah.
So now we can continue.
Okay, but yeah, sort of. Doctor Strange is a plot device, man. Yeah, and I know. But at any point, he could have done his deal with Dormammu again. Like,
that was my theory.
Maybe, but I mean, there's also the possibility that by that point, he had Thanos had so many other stones that he could have stopped him from pulling that crap. What he could have done, however, is the move that they established, where he uses a portal to sever a person's arm off. Hello. And like they're trying to pull this thing off, and. He could have done so many things to help.
Yeah. Right.
But he was moping or something.
I don't know.
But maybe he did the Dormu thing when he was looking at all the millions of possibilities. Maybe he played all those possibilities out and he saw the one.
I think he had a plan.
I think he did too. I think we all have the same plan. I think we've all got the same idea on this.
When he relinquished it, he's like, this is what has to happen.
Yep.
I think we'll definitely get to that, I think. So I'm just going to. I want to talk about real quick. Let's talk about the Banner Hulk plotline. How do you guys feel about it?
embarrassed Hulk, who was being a crybaby and didn't want to come out
right.
Because he got beat for the first time in his life.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was fun.
I did too.
And it was nice to. And I'm sure for Mark Ruffalo, I'm sure he felt I get to be in this movie and be more part of it than instead of being an animated version and have fun with it. I think they just said, hey. You have fun with this one, and I think he did. And I love seeing him in the Hulkbuster armor.
I was going to say I appreciate the Hulkbuster armor.
That was hilarious.
That was so good.
Oh, it was good. And then him just trying to get the green guy out and just, I don't know, mm-hmm. it was good. Yeah. I felt that Hulk was just being a...
I like that Tony sort of adopted Peter Quill. I was like, yeah, he's mine. I like him. which made his heart break when saying, Quill, don't go. That was one of the ones that hurt the most for me.
Yeah.
That and Groot having to watch... Rocket having to watch Groot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's rough. Baby Groot.
Or teenage
Spider-Man, yeah.
But now that you've brought up Groot and Rocket...
Tree and Rabbit.
And Thor... That actually brings me to a good point and something I wanted to talk about for this movie, the humor.
They were...
fucking funny.
They were the best team.
They were fucking funny. Like, and here's what I'm really happy about. They didn't just relegate... They didn't just delegate the humor and comic relief of the movie to the Guardians. Like, they got a lion's share, for sure, but that's because they're the comedy team. We know that. And that's fine. But... Oh man, who else got great laughs in this movie? Fucking Okoye. I love her line about this is not what
Olympics
I expected.
Olympics and Starbucks.
Olympics and Starbucks, which now is a little interesting. But yeah, like the humor in this movie was spot on. It let your foot up on the gas pedal exactly when it needed to be, and then it just faded back and you got back into the action. I thought it was very good.
Yeah,
I really liked. I was looking forward to the Stormbreaker thing. That was one of the scenes I was looking forward to most, and how they're going to do it. And the fact that, like we had said, Peter Dinklage shows up as this 20-foot-tall dwarf.
It's a phenomenon.
So good. But when Groot's arm became the handle to Stormbreaker, I
cried almost. I started to tear up, man.
I exploded. Done. It was the best. I need a replica so bad.
Yeah.
And that's what I was alluding to in our last episode. Yeah. With my Mjolnir, I need a Stormbreaker now. Not
yeah.
a goofy toy. I need a 1-to-1 scale.
Yep. I'm sure they'll make one.
I hope so. I need that replica plot.
I think everybody does. They know it's going to sell money.
Yeah. I need that replica for sure. It's gorgeous. As soon as I heard him say, I need the handle. And then they panned to Groot, and I'm like, oh, that's what's happening. I see what's happening here. I understand.
Love that. Yo comprende.
I am Groot.
And that was, and I told Nick this, that was absolutely one of my favorite parts of the movie, was Thor introducing Rocket Raccoon to Captain America. Captain, this is my friend. Groot. To Captain America. This is my friend Tree. I am Groot. And Captain, in all seriousness, I am Steve Rogers. So polite.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tree. The most genuine person on the planet. God damn it, Captain America.
Although the fact that...
No, that was great.
The fact that, it was Thor that understood him right away. Understood Groot right away. And Rocket was like, you understand Groot? And he's like...
He took it on Asgard. It was an elective.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Thank you for the hand wave, but fucking what? Really?
I get. Well, yeah.
I mean, they are. They do oversee all of the realms. Yeah. So, I mean, it makes sense.
Classically educated, I guess.
But that might have been a little too hand wavy for me.
I didn't care. It was delicious.
I mean, it works for this new Thor that we get.
He took Groot when he rolled his character sheet. It's fine.
Yeah. This is the first time it's worked out for him. Yeah.
It's just a really well-rolled war domain cleric.
Nice.
I've got another thing here I wanted to talk about because this is... I want to acknowledge and admire Marvel for being able to do this without spotlighting it in such a way that it stood out and felt disingenuous. Towards the end of the movie, where they're all in Wakanda and they're fighting, and Proxima Midnight,
loving her, by the way.
The chick children of Thanos. Mm-hmm. She gets her fight scene with Okoye, Black Widow, and Scarlet Witch. The world's most badass chick fight. Like, straight up, Marvel looked at DC and went, Wonder Woman, that's cute. Hold on.
Check this out.
Hold my beer.
Yeah, hold my beer. Like, one.
Oh, and those three surrounded. I was like, oh. My body's ready.
Yeah, and no, and that scene is so good. It's gorgeous, but more importantly, it didn't feel like it was standing out as fan service.
No.
It didn't feel like it stood out as a, hey, see what we're doing? Look, we're so progressive. No, it felt like it was part of the rest of the fucking battle. And it just, it melded in just seamlessly. It felt natural.
And the fact that, you know, it was Scarlet Witch, who is an insanely powerful being, but the other two were just
people.
Yeah.
And you went, oh, and you seriously looked at Proximal Manor and went, oh, you're fucked. You're up against these girls. You're in the place of fucked.
Yeah.
Because you just see these deadly looks on especially Okoye and Black Widow.
Right?
You're done.
Oh, yeah. No, I thought it was great. Nick?
Yeah, it was great. I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I think it was.
Favorite scene?
Yeah.
Probably. I had a lot of little favorite scenes, but I mean, yeah, I mean, it was.
No, I'm asking what your favorite
overall scene. Favorite scene.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think. I don't know that I have one particular favorite scene. I think they were all, they were all so good.
Yeah.
The whole movie. There wasn't a part where, like, normally I find something to bitch about, but I don't. The music was great. The action, the story was great. The scenes were great. I don't know that I like. It was just all great. There wasn't a part where I was like, oh, that's... There was a couple parts I was like, ugh, can you just... Okay. But maybe I understand why... Well, kind of like we talked about before, why Doctor Strange didn't use a time stone and do the... And I think in processing it more, I was kind of like, okay, well, maybe I can maybe see why now.
I was also really mad at Nebula during that scene because she was just standing there not helping, like that boy kid from the first Jurassic Park movie when they're trying to reach the gun and he's doing nothing but watching his sister and slamming the chair going, hurry up! Dude, I will kill you.
Right, and it's very interesting that, I mean, I understand Gamora's turn, but then for Nebula to turn, you know, to be so, I'm still going to go kill Gamora because, you know, my father, blah, blah, blah. But then all of a sudden be like, no, my father's a piece of shit. I'm going to fucking kill him instead.
Well, they had kind of established their...
Other than she was being tortured, but...
Yeah, they had kind of established their putting things, you know, on the back burner.
Right.
And at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Right, yeah.
That they're, okay, we can team up and do this.
But yeah, there's not... And then the part that I talked to you about in the chat about why when they were holding them, why Nebula or somebody didn't just fucking stab him in the goddamn throat when they were holding him down and they had him more or less sedated when they're trying to rip the gauntlet off, or like you said, cut off his fucking arm. And then you pointed out, well, he's a Titan and he's very tough, and I get that, but at the same point, it's like, you can be so tough, but you know, you take a couple shots to the throat.
But specifically, what could have done the job was one of Doctor Strange's portals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they didn't. And I was just like, and I get it, you have to have the movie go on, but you just fuck. Do something else, dude. Fucking kill him. Don't mamby-pamby around it.
No.
But I'm curious. I don't know if we saw it, but did Black Panther's sister die? The scientist.
That's what I was actually going to get to. I wanted to talk about confirmed kills, pre-culling, culling kills, and who's left alive and who's MIA. So
okay. I have a list.
So do I.
Good.
So pre-culling.
I don't.
Pre-culling. The confirmed kills are in this order. Fucking. We got Loki, Heimdall, and then
Gamora.
Confirmed kill. MIA. From that ship, Valkyrie and Korg, we don't know what happened to them, but all of the Asgardians are dead. Like, all of Asgard is now done.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
Yeah.
Like, that actually made me super angry. Like, and at the same time, I would have probably bitched about it if they had gotten away scot-free somehow. I mean, like, well, you know, he killed all the people on the Nova Corps planet. Why are these people left alive?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, that just...
Glenn Close and John C. Reilly are dead, you guys. I'm upset about this.
Maybe.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe yeah. John C. Reilly got away and he's going to be Nova. That would be a ridiculous, like, for any of the Nova to survive for it to be but him, but
he,
who cares?
But if he did what he did with everybody else, wouldn't he just kill half the population or...
No, they talked about how he killed everyone on that planet.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And because that's how they got that...
That's stone. How he gets the Power Stone.
Yeah.
Because they were protecting it. And then, so for the culling, everyone but the OG Avengers, Nebula, Rocket.
Yeah. So you have, according to my list, the ones you still have alive are Tony Stark, Steve Rogers, Thor, Hulk, Black Widow, Rocket, and Nebula. Question marks would be Hawkeye, Ant-Man, Wong.
Yep.
Shuri.
Shuri,
the leader of the other tribe, the
M'Baku. No, M'Baku, I think, is alive.
I think you saw
M'Baku live just like
and Ned?
Okoye.
Is Ned still alive?
Is May still alive?
Ned.
Oh, we don't know Ned. Ned. We don't know Ned. Pepper, we don't know.
Pepper, don't know.
We don't know. That's true.
But
who probably still, if they are
Maria gonna, Hill and
Nick Fury confirmed.
The best death line, of course, goes to Samuel Jackson sneaking in, attempting to sneak in one motherfucker as he's contractually obligated.
As he's paging.
Captain Marvel
on the same pager that I owned in 1999.
But it was a space pager.
It's a space pager. That
space gizmo on it.
Yeah.
Because she's wherever the fuck she is.
Yeah. Right. Which I thought was clever.
So we're assuming she's alive because she's going to be the savior of the next movie.
Yeah. I think.
Like I said, she flies around Earth, spins it backwards, and time reverses itself.
But it's like you knew like and even as he said to Thor, you should have hit me in the head, and then he powered up his gauntlet. I thought he was just doing like an escape move. I didn't think that was it.
Yeah.
But then that was it.
Yeah.
Did he? And
people started dying.
But then the gauntlet was destroyed, though. It
looked a little toasty, but all the gems were intact.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then Thor, you don't see in the last scene.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
He's standing right there.
Yeah,
he's a Stormbreaker. Right Rocket. Rabbit.
Like when they were all standing there, and like maybe I was paying too much attention to Hulk and the Hulkbuster armor, but I didn't see him in the last shot. But maybe he was. He probably was.
These are my friends, Rabbit and Tree. Like that's gonna.
Sorry.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I think this is a good transition into talking about what this means, where we're going.
I think we have the same theory.
The fact that all of the people whose contracts were up lived, and all the people who were supposed to be more movies died. That literally means one of two things. Either they are finishing this shit up and we're going to something completely new, or this is not permanent.
I don't think it's permanent.
I think it's all. I think we're all the same. I think the one ending that Doctor Strange saw involved Tony Stark. And that the reason he gave Thanos the Time Stone and saved Tony Stark's life was because Tony is the key to all of this, because Thanos said it earlier in the movie when he's like, I know who you are, I'm very well aware of you. And Tony has said it too, where he's like, ever since I was up in the fucking space thing with seeing the aliens, I've had this weird connection to all of this shit.
He even says, I've been dreaming about it for 6 years.
Right. So my theory is that
Tony Stank is going to die bringing everyone back? Or?
Yes, Tony will somehow get the gauntlet, bring other people back, and make it right. Somehow he has the power to do that. In the comics, he's wielded the glove before.
I think he'll need help, though.
Absolutely.
And I think Captain is going to step up, and I think they're going to do it together, and it'll take them both.
And that's why I think absolutely. And I think it'll be Captain Marvel, and that's why I was in the last podcast talking about the Fantastic Four, because right now Nebula and Tony are stuck on a planet. The ruined Titan.
Theoretically, they have her ship, though.
Do they?
I think so.
Theoretically, yeah.
Because she showed up because she called, what's his face, from the new Guardian, who wasn't in this movie really at all, but she called him at one point. The guy who has the arrow now.
Oh, she called Sean Gunn's character.
Because they teamed up.
And oh, that's
she,
right.
That's who she called to get there in the first place.
Oh, okay.
No.
So she has that old ship.
Gotcha.
I thought she crashed it, but I don't think so. I can't remember. Anyways, maybe they have a ship.
She crashed her old ship in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, but not the other ship. Because they had the two ships. They had the Reaver ship and
There's and so much going on in this movie. I need to see it again.
Me too.
And then and part of that, I think they will get help from Gamora, because I believe she will come back in some sort of celestial-esque being that will help guide them or help point them in the right direction as to how to get the shit done. And at that point, I believe Tony will reverse it and bring back the people who turned to ash.
But it requires a sacrifice.
Yeah, absolutely. And which will probably be him and maybe Cap. Yeah,
probably Cap.
And hopefully, maybe that's the thing, is that their contracts might be up, but maybe they've already secretly, part of their contract was to film this last little part.
No, that was part of their contracts, was to film.
They had to,
part one and two.
Their contract included both movies.
Okay, yeah. So the part two is the finishing up, and then we'll sacrifice us to let you guys live because mm-hmm. we have to.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, for crying out loud, so we know Ant-Man and Wasp is coming out in just a couple months.
Yep.
Which has to take place before this. Yeah. Yeah,
it has to.
Yep. Same with the sequel to Spider-Man, I think it has
no,
to.
No. That's
the thing.
That's coming out after.
It comes out after Avengers 4.
Yeah.
So I think.
Which, by the way, I think the fact that it comes out after Avengers 4, we're going to see an Iron Man 3 plotline for Spidey.
Speaking of which, we didn't even talk about the Iron Spider, which we all knew was coming.
Oh,
but
shit, yeah. I'm
so fucking
sorry.
Awesome was that?
That was super cool.
And everything from how he got the suit to what he did with the suit to when you see the arms for the first time, all of it was just pure deliciousness.
Yeah,
just
if pure
anybody
joy.
How can anybody say anything bad about Tom Holland as Spider-Man? You can't. I don't think you can. And if you are, fuck you, you're wrong.
If you make one more pop culture reference.
Did you guys see that really old movie, Aliens?
Yeah, I was just a distraction for this kid who's seen more movies than I have. And then I was like, when?
That fucking kid.
I'm like, when in Aliens? Well, I guess. They don't blow it open, but okay.
I do love /fanfic, The Peters.
Yeah.
Can I have a Parker Quill combo there? It's never anything sexy. It's just them referencing pop culture to each other. All movie.
Then maybe have Megan write it.
Yeah.
A, she knows pop culture. B, she loves fan fiction. And yeah. C, I know she won't make it too lemony.
It's true.
Good.
For those who don't know, lemony is a reference to when you make fan fiction sexy.
Yes. Because it can't be, because it's uncomfortable, because Peter.
Would it be limey?
Crikey.
So anyway, Ant-Man.
So
yes, it will definitely have to take place before. And then Venom.
Who knows if that's in the universe at this point?
But Peter Parker's in it. Trick, so who the fuck?
Venom kills Thanos.
But I mean, it's so far and away from.
I would
else.
Totally get on board with that theory. By the way, shut the hell up for a minute. Like I'm totally down with Venom, the symbiote. Oh God!
And the help of Howard the Duck.
Yes. Yes.
Ruined.
Yes.
Ruined.
That was my.
Oh God, I want this.
Well, in Ruined. Twin Cities Geeks, somebody posted post fake spoilers of Infinity War. Mine was Howard Duck saves the world yet again.
By the way, to add into the MIA ? List, Howard the Duck, because we didn't see him on Nowhere.
But we did see
or Cosmo. For
but
that
we did
matter.
See Tobias from Arrested Development, Blue Tobias.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
If anybody watched the rest of the development, Tobias, when he was blue, he was in one of the cases behind Gamora.
Oh.
And I think he had like a typewriter or something. But during the credits, it said Arrested Development character used with permission of yada, yada, yada. I'm like, Arrested Development character? What the fuck are you talking about? So I looked it up. Tobias was in the case behind Gamora when they were on fucking Nowhere.
Why?
Weird.
I don't know.
Because? Because
they were a fan. I don't know.
Because Mitchell Hurwitz asked for it? I don't know.
Probably.
Probably. Mm. Didn't the Russos direct some episodes of Arrested Development?
Probably.
Yeah, that might be the answer.
Mm. Interesting.
Well, it makes sense. They've done so much shit from Community, they might as well have put a different show they did in there. Coming back to your Doctor Strange theory.
Yes.
I mostly agree with it. There's just a couple changes that I think are a thing. I think the one positive ending that Strange saw involved giving Thanos the stone and then seeing this woman come in. Captain Marvel. I think Captain Marvel is going to be the linchpin of all this. Along with Adam Warlock, by the way, who we know exists because he's in Volume 2. I think we're going to see Captain Marvel and Adam Warlock come in and...
Oh, I forgot about that.
I think they're holding on to Adam Warlock until Guardians 3.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think we're going to...
Silver Surfer.
Hey, he's back in. Like, they've got that property back.
And they made it part about Phase 4 is they said that it's going to be cosmic. They made some universal reference about...
Sure, sure.
It's going to be... So that's why it was... I don't know. I'm wondering if they'll bring in the Fantastic Four, but that would be weird for Avengers, wouldn't it?
I mean, no. They've had, like, the Fantastic Four and the Avengers have always had sort of a symbiotic relationship. They've worked together a lot.
Christ.
And hell, you know, the thing has been an Avenger on more than one occasion.
Oh yeah.
But then again,
yeah.
So
is Torch, hasn't he?
I think so. Yeah. But then so have Beast and
who I'm certain we're seeing coming into the Marvel Universe MCU. I'm sure we're going to see the X-Men come in soon.
I hope not.
I don't know. I'm still not sure how I feel about it. I just know that Disney and Marvel are big shit.
I agree. I just don't. I want to keep them out of the Avengers movies. It would be cool, but at the same time, just be like, okay, too much.
I want to keep them out of the Avengers movies until like Avengers 5 or 6 or 12. No,
15.
Avengers 5 or 6. Because then, well, it would be called AVX.
By the way, have you seen the video? I think it's a College Humor video of the Civil War reenactors, and they're reenacting the fight scene from Civil War.
Oh, no, I haven't seen this.
Well, I used to do this North and South thing, but then I found this whole Tony Cap thing, and I'm all about it. And so
I need to see that.
Or it's bad humor, which I think is still College Humor. But anyways, sorry. So, yeah, so I think Tony's the key. I think he's the key to finishing off Thanos and probably Thor, since he seems to be the only one that can really
injure him.
Give it to him.
Hot.
Giggity.
In more than one way. He did have a different colored eye when Rocket gave him that weird eye.
Well,
I loved the weird eye, by the way.
Gold for a second as it was activating. I would watch the okay. Pops it in.
Sometimes I want to know how much was improv and how much was written script. And not that I care.
Can I see your arm?
That guy's arm.
Oh god. And that's the perfect stuff. Like it was so natural integrating the characters into each other's universes. Finally, yeah. With Rocket going right to Bucky and going, I want your fucking arm.
And like they're just like, okay, here's a tree and a raccoon. Is this what's happening, guys? Cool. I'll go with it. Whatever. We got.
Yeah. Nobody says anything about like, oh, we got a talking raccoon. Cool. Kevin, do you have any theories about what's gonna happen?
So, I mean, my theory is just that they find a way to bring them back, and they have to, and that's simply because they killed off. I wasn't sure at first when, you know, because the first death you really see, I think, was Bucky, right?
As far as dusting?
Yeah, after the first culling, one, the first culling death.
The first culling, the first dusting?
Yeah.
I think it's Bucky, yeah.
Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind.
Oh, you're my boy,
soon?
Blue!
Too soon? So I think the first one was Bucky, and I'm like, oh, that sucks. I liked him. But then when they're two, basically the peak characters right now, which is Spider-Man and Black Panther, two characters who just got started.
Yeah, that's what
that
I
was
knew.
Like. Okay, I can no longer accept this.
Yeah,
no,
that's when I knew. Okay, they're coming back somehow. We just don't know how yet.
Yeah, that's why I wonder if Shuri's going to hold is still alive and she's going to hold the Black Panther mantle for a little while.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
I would enjoy that.
I would too.
Well, she did in the comics.
She does. So with her fucking arm cannons.
Yeah,
and a cape.
And a cape.
She has like a fur collar and like a cape.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Wait, does Okoye survive or did she get
dusted? She watched Black. Was alive, yes.
Yeah, she was.
Because she was watching Black Panther watching T'Challa die horror.
In absolute horror.
Yeah, she's like, we just got you back, motherfucker. Ah, shit.
But,
yeah.
Hey, M'Baku, I guess you're king now.
Yeah!
No, it'd go to Shuri.
I'm so okay with that. It does not.
It's not necessarily, like, I think theoretically it would, unless a challenger took it, but I think Shuri would be like, no, thank you. Baku, you do this, because that's basically what they did last time.
Yeah.
That's true.
I do want to say I loved the tribal chant of the Wakandans.
Oh, God just, damn it.
You're right.
So good.
Yeah, it was.
I love that.
Although I giggled a little bit when they have their, you know, the aliens running towards their shield thing, and I'm just like, boy, this reminds me of a certain
Phantom
Star
Menace.
Wars. Yeah, Star Wars movie. And I'm like, oh god, oh, but you did it way better. Cool. And their shields with their capes, they turn their capes and their shield. I'm like, oh my god, fuck yeah. Oh.
I did appreciate that they went, okay, they're using, okay, we need to bottleneck them and just let them come in.
Fucking Cap's shield guitars.
Right?
Those are pretty fucking great.
Yeah.
Shield guitars?
Yeah, like a double neck guitar.
Oh, okay.
Guitars. Qatar.
Oh.
K-A-T-A-R, a fist blade.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
God, have you played Katars. Diablo 2?
No.
No. I didn't play Diablo 1, so sorry.
Who cares about Diablo 1? Diablo 1 sucks. You haven't played Diablo 2?
I may.
Or Diablo 3, for that matter. Diablo 2.
So, where do we ultimately... And the next... Whenever the next Avengers 4...
May 2019.
Uh-huh. Yep. It's next year already.
Oh, fuck.
It's already been filmed. It's just they're doing finishing touches. And
so you think they took part one and part two and just made them into two actual separate movies without calling them part one and part two?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Well, and they've already...
And maybe doing some reshoots?
And they've already determined... Yeah, probably. They've already determined, too, that the name of A4 is a spoiler for Infinity War. So we know it has something to do...
Yeah.
With
so they're not going to release until they're sure that
yeah.
You know, everyone who gives a shit has seen it.
Avengers 4, Tony's Revenge.
Hope so.
Stark's Revenge. But
it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be something, the title is going to mean something to everyone who's seen it.
Yeah.
And I think from there we'll be able to at least glean plot details just from the title. Because they're saying the title's a spoiler, so there's got to be a plot detail in the in the title, I think.
Fuck. Yeah, I've never just felt so quiet at the end of a movie.
Like, yeah.
I brought my Infinity Gauntlet that I made.
I was going to ask if you brought that.
Of course I did. But like right like as the credits started rolling, I took it and I went, "Yeah!" And I threw it on the ground and I made that noise. Yeah! I don't like you anymore.
Now, Rob, don't you feel evil that you were trying to placate him with messages on his phone while he was watching this movie?
No.
This guy.
No.
I don't feel... Because my phone wasn't on. I know it wasn't on, but
vibrating. No?
I don't even vibrating.
No, it was silent.
Monsters is Infinity War.
Yeah.
There's a guy in front of us who kept taking out his phone, and I was a... Like, and I don't take kindly to that. I will say something. But even before I could, this guy was sitting next to Ian got him like, put away your fucking phone! I was like, yeah, you get him, guy.
Yeah, there were chatty Cathys around me during, like, before the movie and during the previews. I'm like, if you talk during this fucking movie, I will kill you.
I will punch you
in the throat.
So I went and saw this movie by myself. Because I'm sad.
I saw it by myself.
All right, well then, never mind.
I saw it with friends.
We don't have friends, Kevin.
I saw it at midnight. Leave me alone.
No, okay. So as I said in the last episode, I got off work at 3:00. My movie showing was at 3:15. I busted my ass driving from my work to the theater, which, by the way, was 16 minutes apart. So I knew I was missing some trailer.
Rob, we're just glad you saw it because for those that don't know, Rob had no plan to see this fucking movie before we recorded this podcast.
True, he was like, I don't know. I'm like, no, Rob, like fucking like you have to. And like Rob usually has a kind of a devil may care attitude about spoilers, but with this we're like, no, trust me, dude, you have to. And like, I cannot in good conscience.
I want to point out, by the way. This is a movie that I did not look for any spoilers. I didn't usually I'm just like, you know, I'm fine with, I don't actively look at, like, I don't read a synopsis or anything, but you know, if a spoiler comes across and I accidentally see it, I go, oh, okay, that's fine. No, I fucking turned shit off. Like, I was like, Thanos demands my silence. Fuck this noise.
The only thing that I looked up, but it wasn't until after the movie, is I had to remind myself, because I didn't know that much about Thanos, was how it is that he could wield the Infinity Stones, touch him with no problem, without any side effects, without anything.
Because the gauntlet.
Well, the gauntlet, but he actually physically handles the stones with no issues.
Yeah.
And so I had to read and do some research about why he can do that. Now I understand it better. I'm like, oh, okay, got it. He's a super titan. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all I had to do. But that was after I'd already seen it. Because obviously...
He comes from a powerful being sort of people.
Yeah.
My titans, I figured, you know, if you're a race of titans. But he was like a super titan that kind of outcast because he was bigger and badder and different.
And I don't know if either of you saw this, but Josh Brolin gave a little backstory on what he used to portray Thanos. And he drew a lot from Quasimodo, interestingly enough. Hmm. Like, and you see it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think you felt more for Thanos in this movie because they humanize him? Although he takes Gamora away from total fam takes her away from her family, and somehow she forgets that she had a mom. Like she can just be distracted by this little knife thing. That image
fucking
of him,
knife, by the way.
That image of him walking with like a little kid. I mean, it's just like for a second you're like, oh, he's a pretty decent dude. For like a second.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, wait, no, you're a piece of shit. Because you're just about to kill everybody on that planet. Never
half
mind. You're
people.
Only yeah. half.
No, only half.
You but even he, see it.
You see, well, A, you see it. And then B, he talks about it later. He's yeah. like, it's a paradise now. Everyone has full bellies and blue skies. And
then why doesn't he ever let Gamora go back?
Because she's his now.
Oh.
Yeah. Because he's got some,
abandonment issues that
he's got some toxic masculinity he needs to work out. Yeah,
but I think that's what makes him a better villain is the fact that they give him those human moments.
Yeah,
kind of like your theory about facial expressions and being able to see you can see the facial expressions. He's not wearing a mask. He's not wearing a helmet.
Yeah,
it's just him.
No, I like that. What was I gonna say? Fuck shit titties. Oh, no. Porno. What? No, fuck. I don't remember what I was going to say. I just had an idea in my head and it's gone. I'm sorry.
Thanos, bad guys.
Thanos, please. Bad guys. Da 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 da. I don't know. What was it? I think Thanos was a really interesting character. Finally we get we get a villain that is both interesting and powerful and like, yeah, Killmonger, sure, but
there's depth. You get a lot of backstory.
Yeah, and I just,
and even for people that don't know,
oh, I remember what it was. Killmonger actually set my brain off about it. So remember at the end when he just disappears and everyone starts dusting and the culling happens,
mm-hmm.
and then you cut to a scene with Thanos talking to a little girl. Or no, that's when
he was talking to Gamora. He's
talking to Gamora. That's when he got stabbed in the chest by Stormbreaker. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And so he's sort of right having his own little... Yeah, he's having his own little death scene. Where is he? Because do you guys have the same theory that I do?
He was just in his own mind. He was having his Thor / Harry Potter Dumbledore dream.
Was he?
That's why he didn't have the gauntlet.
Yeah, he's not wearing the gauntlet.
Right.
It was just in his own mind after he...
I mean, I'm...
He's walking towards the light. Are you thinking that that was a Gamora... Celestial.
I think, no, what I think is because of the geographical location of where they were, this is the Wakandan ancestral lands. Like, that was the feeling I got right away.
I got more of the Dumbledore fucking in his own.
Sure.
He was walking towards the light, but wasn't quite there yet.
It was just his own King's Cross station.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. My thought was, like, because it felt like the scene from Black Panther. It felt a lot like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe he was. I don't know.
Maybe not. I don't know.
I need to see the movie again. Maybe three times.
Yeah,
or four
me
times.
Too.
I'm gonna try and go this week.
So
if not, maybe I don't know tonight.
I'm guessing overall we all agree that go out and see this fucking movie.
Oh yeah, of course.
Overall
I
mean, rating.
I don't think that
the
was
day before yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't think that was ever gonna be a question.
I know it wasn't, but we have to give our
sure, sure. Our, yeah, go see it. Absolutely. This is
because people like
this is a landmark film, you guys. You need to catch fuck. This. You need to catch this in a theater.
And you're gonna have feels. Even if you don't know anything, even if you don't know a lot about the Marvel Universe, or if you've just watched all the movies or watched a handful of them, you're going to have feelings about this. I mean, it just, even as a standalone movie, say this was a movie that was just out by itself, you would still, I believe you would still have feels for it, not just because we've had 10 years of history and 76 post-credit scenes to fucking get to this point.
And trombones.
Right, and sorry. Trombones. 37.
In a row.
Thank you.
69.
That you just, you're going to have feels because it's just like, you. It's kind of like at the end, you're just kind of like, what the fuck did I just watch? What happened? What's going to go on? Where's this going?
Yeah.
Why do these people die?
Why doesn't Kobe Smulders age?
Right?
Right?
That butt. Ugh.
All of your credibility gone now.
really? Mine?
Now?
That one comment about somebody's butt? Come on.
But yeah, no. In everything before Colby Smulders' butt, I agree with. Actually, I agree with you on Colby Smulders' butt.
I was going to say.
I'm not going to lie. I did not expect that as a post-credit scene. I mean, I kind of expected some sort of Captain Marvel somewhere, But I didn't expect that.
That was the only spoiler I got, was that Sam Jackson and Kobe Smulders were in the end credit scene. I didn't know anything about it. I just knew that that's where they were going to be.
And I wonder if that's how Captain Marvel is going to start, like the movie, because when does that come out?
This year, doesn't
is it?
It
list
end of this later? Year?
Well, here's a question. So, and because I can't remember.
Because I have I shouldn't say start. I apologize. I should say it's actually probably how it ends.
So,
because I have a feeling it's going to be an origin story that leads up to basically that point with that phone call. Because it says that both Sam Jackson and weirdly Coulson, in Captain Marvel.
He is.
I forget. Sam Jackson is now. Are they trying to rebuild S.H.I.E.L.D. and he's back to being not in hiding?
Probably.
Okay.
I don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so I don't know the specifics.
But that's what I was kind of wondering if, from the movies, because last we saw him, he was still trying to be a hideout and trying to be undercover and hiding in darkness. And then now it seems like he's back being Shaft S.H.I.E.L.D.
Shaft
shield
with shaft
an
shield.
Shaft,
also,
shaft
we,
with an eye
we,
patch.
We now have at least an end cap at where the Netflix MCU shows take place.
Oh yeah, what about the Defenders?
Yeah,
it's a good question. I don't disagree with you.
Do you think?
I don't disagree with you.
Do you think the Defenders will...
And that's all I have to say.
Be in Avengers 4?
No.
I mean, they would serve no point purpose because they're not... I don't know.
It kind of makes me wonder... Like, I now actually, despite not watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I want to know who is still alive from that. I need to know about the Defenders, and I need to know about the Runaways.
But the Defenders don't seem to bring anything other than a bunch of strong people. I mean, that's really all they are. With, like, super strength. Like, Luke Cage is invincible, but he's super strong. Jessica Jones isn't invincible, but she's super strong. Iron Fist isn't invincible, but he's super strong and good in martial arts. He's got a fist.
He has a superpower.
Does he?
And Daredevil isn't super strong. He's just also a ninja. Like, they're the street heroes. But, I mean, Captain America, he's super strong. We have Tony Stark, who isn't invulnerable, but he's in a suit that makes him super strong. We have Thor, who has lightning, but he's also super strong. We have Hulk, whose only ability is being super strong. You're splitting hairs here. It's all the same. That's superheroes. So that feels pointless to me. But I still want them all to be okay. Mostly Jessica and Luke, but
that's about it.
Because Daredevil's sort of dead anyway, so yeah, I guess it doesn't matter.
And if Elektra was there. Oh, they could bring the Punisher.
Yeah, where's the Punisher at?
Yeah.
Trick, Punisher kills Thanos. Steb comes up behind him, slits his throat.
I would love it so much.
Comes out of the shadows, nowhere.
Yeah. And that's how we get an R-rated Marvel film, you guys.
Fine with me.
R-rated MCU film.
So all right. I think we got to wrap this bad boy up.
Yeah, I got an appointment I got to get to.
I got to get to work. And also, I have to edit 2-hour-long podcast.
I'm just masturbating.
So, gross. Sorry. This guy over here. So this has been our spoiler episode number 60 of Best Threesome Ever of Infinity War. So hopefully this is a little bit better format for everybody, and maybe this might be something we continue. We don't know, but we'll see.
Yeah. Especially for these big ones, I think.
For these big ones, yeah. And we had a lot to say because we just talked for an hour on
it. Holy fuck. I can still talk more.
Yeah, I can absolutely. Keep going. We should go see it again and then talk more. Anyways, so thank you for joining us. Best Threesome Ever, episode 60. I'm Nick.
I'm Rob.
I'm Kevin.
And thank you, and hopefully go see this movie.
Good night and good luck.
The views held here by the nerds of Best Threesome Ever do not directly reflect the views of nerds everywhere.